tired and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me every day. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. Bring your doubts, bring your fears. Bring your hurt and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. You are holy, righteous and redeemed. And every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me every day. When others say
What a great message. Greater is he who in me than he who's living in the world. Welcome. I'm Tom Carver, senior pastor here. We may be on Facebook Live. We don't know. We're giving it a try. My wife, Linda, told me earlier today that Facebook was crashing this morning. Likely all the churches and all the people may be using it. So if you are joining us on Facebook, God bless you. There's a handful here in the sanctuary, but we are carrying on. So this is a different day, and we're in a new world, and so this is our opportunity to worship, to praise, but also prepare for what's to come. I sent out an email last night. We were on Facebook, a message, and then also our webpage about our instructions for today, and so here's just a few things. We've got children's activities are canceled. Spring break was this week anyway, so there's nothing Wednesday. We're trying to minimize touching anything, so we're not going to greet people today. By touching, we're going to have a moment just to wave and visually hug each other, but and then we will not past the offering plates, so you can put money in the offering. The plates are at each aisle as you go out. There's hand sanitizers on the way in. Hopefully you got a sense there, and on the way out you can receive that as well. But we're really trying to do the best we can to keep everybody safe and at the same time live our lives. In some ways, there was quite a bit of discussion, should we cancel today or not? And I've been in touch with our mayor of Bettendorf, and I believe really we want to do this as a community. And the community, as of yesterday, had said the community health recommendations, they're not suspending groups under 250. There hadn't been a community spread at that time, you know, where it was advancing in a community in Iowa. That has changed overnight. They do have now some communities where the virus is spreading and they don't know where it came from. So we're now at a next higher level than we were even yesterday as a state. Our bishop has also recommended that Iowa United Methodist Churches suspend worship at this time. So this is likely our chance to be together for a period of time. But check our Facebook page, check our website for what's the latest. And so next Saturday, you'll get the word, again, a reminder of what's happening before our worship time. But we are prepared, ready, we're going into a whole new world. Now, a couple things, too, if you use the restrooms here, we've actually put some, you know, you can wash your hands, use your elbows to push the button, wash your hands, good, you're getting all that information about washing your hands. Take the paper towel and use it to open the door, and then there is a basket right there at the door, you can drop it in. The doors as you go out, who's a construction person, a door, you know, on doorways, and they've got that bar across it, what's that bar called? Crash bar, good one. I've also heard something else. The panic bar. We are not going to panic. So I want to rename that bar that goes across the door, and we're going to call it from here on out the butt bar. And that's because you go up to the door, you can use your butt to open it and go out without having to contact surfaces that way. All right? So you can practice that on your way out. Again, with the doorway, just use your backside, and you can exit without, again, minimizing the potential of contacting a service. I mean, here's the reality. We can't everybody just stay in our houses from here on out. We've got to live our lives, and we're going to have to find ways that we can do that that also keeps people safe. If you saw the announcements in the words this year, our objective now as a community is to lower the curve of infections that are at a slower rate so that our healthcare systems can manage it. And so we want to do our part. And that, again, there's something for everybody. So you might notice I've got a visual parable for you today. That's why I've got my work boots on, because we've got a job to do. And we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and get to work to combat this situation. And with God's help, we can do it. And we're going to need each other, and we're going to need most of all God's grace and strength in our lives. We will overcome it. We will see it through. There are some challenging times ahead. And that's why it's also so important to stay connected with God and with each other. We're going to figure out new ways to do that with Facebook and broadcasting and all that kind of thing. And so here's an opportunity for us to grow and change. So with that, we're going to praise God. We're going to carry on and share now. Our praise team is going to lead us in our opening worship.
We invite you to go ahead and stand, and we'll join together in singing.
We used to hide from the light. We made friends with the night. We were headed the wrong way on a one-way track, going nowhere fast. We got used to the dark. We thought, this is who we are. That we were just too far gone, but we were wrong. Cause love came running like a river, we got washed in the water. Then he said, forgiven, your sins are gone. That was then, this is now. You're bought by the blood, saved by the Son. The saints all sing about that was lost, this is found. And it's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past, box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back, cause that was then, and this is now. We've been remade by grace. We've all got new names. Nothing we do could ever change what he did that day. When love came bounding like a river, we got washed in the water. Then he said, you're forgiven, and you belong. That was then, this is now. You're bought by the blood, saved by the song the saints all sing about. That was lost, this is found. And it's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past, box it up like an old photograph. Don't have to go back, cause that was then. If we turn and confess every unrighteousness, he is faithful and just to forgive. Also turn and confess every wrong and regret, and see what it means to live. That was then, this is now. You bought by the blood, saved by the Son, the saints all sing about. That was lost, this is found. And it's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past, box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back, cause that was then, and this is now. Then, and this is now.
From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has
has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
So we invite you to try to form that community at a distance, wave, virtual hugs, acknowledge our people on Facebook up there in the balcony, and try to form those bonds of community ongoing and through this problem time.
Hi, guys.
This is a new day, but it's still a good day. And again, just like we said, we are more than conquerors through Christ. I want to share, again, we're not going to do the attendance pads, a little bit differently though. So for our attendance today, I'm going to take your picture. Is that right? So are you okay with that? So here's that group. That group, this group, with the balcony, and that group, and one for the praise team. Yeah, so how's that? Now, you know, someday it'll be facial recognition. You'll just walk in and we'll be able to record all that and so on. But until then, what a learning curve we're on. We're going to do all kinds of new and wonderful things. I want to share the announcements, things that are happening in the life of the church. And with the awareness, this is all subject to change. And again, check our Facebook, check our webpage throughout the week. It is more than likely that we won't have services next week. And we'll be working on ways to connect online and so on. So that will be now our primary means for a period of time. Now, again, we're glad that you're here today because at some point we're going to have to get back into it. We're going to have to learn how to interact with one another in a safe way. And so, again, this is temporary in terms of the changes now. Some of the things may be ongoing and permanent in terms of how we disinfect or prevent germs. I mean, the reality is we're dealing with this virus now, but there's going to be another one at some point. And so to look at the idea, this is getting us all up to speed all around the world. So, okay, so with that, we're also going to carry on our announcements. Spring break begins today. How timely. Isn't that perfect? So there's no Wednesday activities. Schools, of course, are on spring break. And our office hours this week will be just 9 to noon. So, or 8 to noon, I'm sorry. Patty will be here during the morning, but just 8 to noon this week. Next announcement is Easter is coming. No matter what, Easter is going to get here. And it'll be springtime. We'll have a chance to enjoy it in many different ways. But if you want to order an Easter lily, there's information about that. The deadline is the 30th. And so, again, Easter in April, we're anticipating that things should be up and running by then. Who knows? But our hope is that we'll be back and functioning for Easter. Other things, there's our Easter week services, and you can check those out in the bulletin and in the good news. And again, it's subject to change, but that's plan A for now. Another thing I want to share with you, on the day before Easter, on the 11th of April, we're going to have like a cleanup day in the church. And so if you're willing to help come in and just kind of spruce up the church, get it all ready for Easter morning. You know, there's sign-up sheets, but you could also, right in the pew, there's a serve card. You just pull out that serve card and just say you're willing to help, and then we'll put that in the offering plate as you leave, and that'll be a way to sign up if you're willing to help with that cleanup day on Easter, or the Saturday before Easter. I think that's the 11th, April 11th, okay? Okay, so with that, John Sherrick is willing to help us through with worship this morning, going to lead us through our joys and concerns. Oh, so here's what we'll do. The musicians will hold the microphones, but they'll hold the microphone. If you've got a joy or concern, just raise your hand or stand, and don't take the microphone. Let them hold it for you. And again, we'll just kind of minimize the touching of surfaces. So,
thank you, Pastor Tom. Welcome, and I know that all of us have a severe concern for those around the world that are suffering from the coronavirus, as it's become known, and we'd ask that you keep all of those people in mind as well.
He's the associate pastor, Mike. Okay.
Yeah, it's on. It's on. Well, I'll talk loud. How's that? Again, keep the people that are suffering from the coronavirus around the world in our thoughts and prayers. Anyone else have thoughts and concerns that they would like to share with the group?
So, I do have another. Stephanie Barr is a woman who's visited our church, been here. Her husband is in the military with the Armory, and she was a part of the congregation here, but they've moved to Bluegrass, so she hasn't been here recently, but she just got diagnosed with breast cancer. Is getting a port put in, she said, tomorrow. So she sent us a Facebook message. Would we pray for her? So we want to pray for Stephanie Barr, also facing some challenging times, but with God's grace, we want to support her in overcoming that. We'll let her know we're praying for her today.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Anyone else? If not, let us take a moment and commune with our Maker in silent prayer, if we could. Father, we thank you for the spiritual bounty that you have provided to sustain each of us in this life before we are able to enter the community of heaven. Grant us the wisdom to continue to develop our faith to better serve our families, our community, our country, and our world. Also grant us the faith to be able to deal with the stress imposed on each of us by this pandemic that we now all face. We ask that you especially provide your assistance to those people in the world who are struggling with other illness and injury. Guide them in their journey for successful outcome to their struggle. Especially grant your guidance to Stephanie as she begins to battle her battle with cancer. We also ask that you guide the leaders in this world in making their day-to-day decisions, as well as the leaders in our church, in a manner that will eliminate strife and facilitate peace on earth. We ask that you grant to each of us the strength of faith to lead us through the trials in each of our lives that we know will continue to come. Bless our gathering here today, and especially grant your blessing to those who are not able to join us in today's service. We ask this in God's name and with your Son, Jesus Christ, as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Turning off the wrong switch, sorry. Today, our scripture reading comes from Matthew, verse 15 through 22. In this particular verse, Jesus is speaking in parables to his followers as he is making his entrance into Jerusalem. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said, so that they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not remind people with parlarity. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay this tax. And they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? They said, The emperor's. And he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor, and to God the things that are God. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is God's word for God's people.
Say, as we're getting ready for our song in preparation, this is a new song for us this week, and I was listening to it some on the way in this morning, just to kind of try to get it in my head, and it dawned on me that all of the songs that Michael picked for the service today were picked before the world turned upside down the last few days. Yet, as you read through the lyrics, as you meditate on these, there are so many lines in these about dealing with struggle, overcoming problems, turbulence, this song takes a little bit different path on that. It gives us an opportunity to show what is good. There's no doubt we have challenges, you know, and us as Christians in this time of pandemic, when we're all being asked to be apart from each other rather than together as we are in other times of crisis, it gives us an opportunity to show our hearts. What are we going to be able to do for other people? You know, how are we going to be able to do that? And this song really starts to talk about some of these things. So let's join together and sing it.
You have shown us, O God, what is good. You have shown us, O Lord, what you require. You have heard all our songs, how we long to worship you. Yet you've told us of the offering you desire. To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. You said to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. You have shown us the riches of your love. You have shown us your heart for those in need. Lord, you're opening our ears to the cries of the poor. You have called us to be your hands and feet. To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. You said to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. To the oppressed and the broken, to the widow and the orphan, let the prayer of your justice flow through us. To the oppressed and the broken, to the widow and the orphan, let the river of your justice flow through us.
And now let's join together in the unison prayer on the screen. Almighty God, when your son taught in the temple, he was risking challenge. Some did not believe, and others hoped to make him stumble. But you, O Lord, held your son high. Through his teachings, he showed us a better way to live. Open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to be taught anew the challenging words of Christ. May they open our lives to new and deepening discipleship. Amen.
To do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. You said to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk.
Our second scripture reading picks up in that same section of the Gospel of Matthew that John shared with us earlier. Again, our context is the last week that Jesus spent on earth. And throughout this whole season of Lent, we're following this sermon series based on the study book we're using about the Passion of Christ and learning from that the risks of that last week. So we began a couple weeks ago with Jesus entering Jerusalem and Palm Sunday. We talked about him turning over the tables of the money changers, risking righteous anger. And today we're talking about risking challenge, but how now he's already been questioned about, do you pay the tax or not? There's been some other tests put to him about if somebody in the Jewish laws, if you had a wife and a husband, and if the husband died without producing children, the brother was supposed to take that wife on. And Jesus said, you know, they're trying to trick him up with that, but Jesus said, look, you don't understand. When people die, they're in heaven. It's marriages don't longer apply and so on. But then we get to this question where one of the Pharisees tries to trip him up on the greatest commandment. So this is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test Jesus. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, we've talked about it quite a bit, the challenge that we face with the new world pandemic, and it affects all of us. And yet, in the midst of it, it's still a good day. There's still things to enjoy. There's a life that we have to live. You know, one of the things for us personally, we oftentimes have our two grandsons, a five-year-old and a three-year-old. And Linda normally takes a job teaching on Fridays, and so the boys go to a daycare. And I thought yesterday, instead of going to the daycare with all the kids, Papa would keep them. So we had a wonderful day together. It was great. We went to McDonald's at lunch. People are still out and doing things. But with my three-year-old, trying to corral him, and, you know, don't touch that, don't touch things, you know. Ordered at that new kiosk, got our Happy Meals, you know, we're sitting at the table, and I've got my five-year-old across from me and the three-year-old next to me and helping with his French fries. No, don't put your lips on the seat. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, part of the challenge is, you know, kids like that, they're like germ magnets. And so we are going to have to learn new ways to keep everybody safe. And yet, the hope is God will see us through. And as people of faith, we can have a perspective that indeed history will go on, and someday we'll look back, and we'll learn from this time, and we'll be prepared for whatever comes next. Because there'll be a next time. There'll be more viruses at some point that we'll adjust to and be prepared for. Well, with that in mind, the scriptures, I think, are helpful in terms of Jesus teaching us how to live in this world. And again, he's already faced some challenges from people who are rejecting his authority, his teaching. They're feeling threatened by he's upsetting the status quo. So in the first reading, the scribes and some of the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they say, Matthew tells us, they're trying to trip him up. And they've got a question to test him. And the situation was, you know, Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish folks, lived in that part of the world, and the Romans had overcome that area. And the Roman centurions controlled things, they controlled commerce, and part of what they did once they took over is that they instituted a census tax so that everybody had to pay to the emperor to pay for the roads, to pay for the soldiers, and just to support the empire. You can imagine that the Jewish people hated not only the Romans, but they hated the tax. And there were some that say we shouldn't pay it, we shouldn't go along with it. But to do that would face then the danger of getting crossways with the empire and with the soldiers and with the army and the powers that be. So that was already the tension, us against them, the local Hebrew Jewish people, and those evil, terrible Romans who were now controlling our country. It was a powder keg to begin with, and these Pharisees are going to try to pull Jesus into it and say, you've got to make a choice. Which way is it going to be? Theirs or ours? And they used this idea of the temple census tax to try to put Jesus on the spot. So they played up to him, and they made it sound nice. Oh, teacher, you know, you don't show any partiality. See how they're setting him up? You love everybody, and you're wise and stuff, but tell us, should we pay the tax or not? Knowing full well that if Jesus said, yes, you should pay the tax, that the Jewish people would not like him for that. They'd hate him for that. If Jesus were to say, no, don't pay the tax, then the Romans were ready to step in and say you're subverting our authority and could be in trouble, arrested by the emperor's centurions. But while he was forced into that corner trying to make a choice or being forced to make a choice between us or them, which is it going to be, Jesus had that wonderful answer. Bring me a coin. And again, in that setting, you had to use the Roman currency, specifically a denarius, and you had to use that specific coin to pay the census tax. And obviously, Jesus didn't have one, so he asked somebody else, bring me one. They brought the coin, and he said, all right, whose image is this? And just like we have Washington or Lincoln or leaders on our currency, there was the image of the Caesar. It was Caesar's image, and there was also an inscription on it that said something like, Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest. So the inscription even said, you know, here's a reference to the son of the divine Augustus, or like the emperor even thought of as like a god. And so for the Jewish people, even that was like blasphemous, to have to use a coin that said the emperor is God when there is no other god but Yahweh, our God. But Jesus then went on to say, all right, here's your task, here's your challenge. To discern, to live within this situation. And give to Caesar, give to the government, give to the surrounding powers the things that are due to them. And give to God the things that are God's. Now you think about that. Everything is God's. And yet Jesus was also saying, you've got to live within this world. And so instead of making a choice or causing division, Jesus is saying, you are going to have to figure it out how to give everything to God and how to live within this world. And I believe that's a challenge, that's a question that is just as relevant for us today. We're children of God. We're followers of Jesus. But we live in a nation, we live in a society, we live in a world where we've got to learn to get along with the people around us too and live within the society, the world, the nation that we're a part of. One nation, under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We want to help that be true and make that happen in reality when we're not there yet. So I think that's the first challenge that Jesus answers that applies to us, is that we're going to do one or the other. We've got to live within our society, within our culture, within our nation, and try to make it the best that it can be as we are followers of Jesus. Now, that didn't really satisfy the folks, of course, because it kind of put that back on them. In a sense, you decide, you figure it out, you make that call, how you do that. So again, they had other tests or ways to question Jesus. And then this question from the Pharisees, one in particular, a lawyer says, all right, Master, which is the greatest commandment of all? Which is first? And remember, the Jewish people had all kinds of rules and laws on how to live appropriately, how to be pure, how to stay sanctified. And part of what is, you know, how do we live with all those? Jesus was asked the question, which is the most important? And he answered just like any other Jewish person would answer still to this day. And he quoted Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, the Hebrew prayer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And Jesus here adds, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Every Jewish person, that's the prayer that they pray every day. That's true. Of course, that's right. And then Jesus goes on, though, to add a second commandment that's out of Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament, but it's kind of obscure amongst many other things. But Jesus elevates it to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he said, all the other commandments, everything else hinges on those two. Love God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, one of the things that has struck me is about the potential for us as human beings not to care for other human beings and not to feel what they feel when we feel or when we think, see them as somebody different than us. In fact, my daughter recently put me onto a book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it's a book that kind of talks about how we've become so polarized in our nation, in our politics, and so on. And part of that is due to a couple things that people are believing that there's either good or bad. It's either us or them. And part of what the book says, it's dangerous when we get that way because then we lose our connection and we lose our potential to be empathetic to other people who ultimately are just like us. They were even able to do a psychological experiment that we're kind of wired that way as human beings. And what they did was they showed people pictures of hands, and they would either take a Q-tip and touch the hand or a needle and poke the hand and cause, you know, pain. And then as they did that, they would have people's brains wired up so they could see their brain activity. Now, they would also label the hand, like they began with a Christian, Muslim, Jewish, different faith groups. And if the person was a Christian, when that hand was poked by the pin, their brain reacted in a higher way than if it was poked, obviously, with the Q-tip, or if they poked someone of a different faith group. And they even found that they would do it with different, you know, religious backings or other groupings, or they would even just make a random designation. You know, you're group A, group B, and they would label the hands. If this was group A and you were told you were group A, there would still be that degree of feeling what they were feeling if they were poked that way. In other words, we've got a natural tendency as human beings to associate, to empathize, to connect with people of our own tribe, of our own group. Who's us? In some ways, part of the evolution may have been, you know, we feel safe with those that are like us. That's a part of who we may be wired to be. But I believe as children of God, we are also wired, or we are also created to overcome that and achieve a higher status than just the animals who care the survival of the fittest. And be able to feel and empathize and care for all of God's children, even those who are not in our clan. I mean, Jesus has already taught about loving your enemy and caring for those who persecute you. And here when Jesus said, here's that second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, I think there's some great simple insights into that. Your neighbor is somebody who's not in your family. They're on the other side of the walls that we build. They're in the community, but they're not part of our in-group. And when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, I believe part of the insight is to try to think of your neighbor as somebody just like you. And in doing that, overcome the normal separations, the normal distancing that we might do psychologically to think, well, that's them. I don't really care about them, and my mind doesn't even respond to that. If we think about those people as people just like us, then we've got a potential to become what God has really intended us to be. I mean, here's the reality. On this planet, we all breathe the same air. We're all dependent upon this one planet. And I believe God may be preparing us that the only way we're going to survive is if we all survive together. I met with a fellow this week. He had a pretty good saying that we all do better when we all do better. And so how do we have that connection for all, for everyone, even and maybe especially the people who are neighbors, who are on the other side of the wall, who are not like us? You know, there's one of the things that I think we're facing in our world is one of the easy ways that can lead to the problems is when we we dehumanize the people that we're opposed to. And I think here's where you see that happening. If you call somebody a name or you refer to them, you know, SOB, you're calling them an animal. You're calling them something less than human. And that, you know, is the beginning of a separation that is not what God intends. I mean, sometimes I've taken these two greatest commandments, love God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you reverse them, you can talk about them the two greatest sins as a way to think about staying on the right track. The two greatest sins, I believe, are number one, idolatry. You put anything in place of God, that's a sign you're headed in the wrong direction. And it doesn't have to be other gods, but it could actually be our possessions, our status, our wealth, or anything that we desire more than we desire God. That's a form of idolatry. And it'll lead to other problems. Not the least of which, the second sin is dehumanization. To look at anyone else and see them as less than human, or less than you. Or not even a neighbor. That then opens the door for all kinds of abuse and a lack of concern in our world. Now, here's one of the things, again, that as we're facing, we're going to have to face this together. And people that we considered enemies are going to have to work, we're going to have to work with them into coming up with a solution. And I want to close with the idea that, and ask for your support, your help, and I want to practice something on you. Tomorrow, I'll drive to Des Moines, and Gary Moore is a member of our congregation, is a state representative. And so he's invited me to come and say the prayer before the state house opens up, you know, both in the House and in the Senate. And so with the pandemic, with everything else, there's so much to pray, but they've told me I've got 1 minute. So I want to practice just so I don't get gaveled out or something, you know. So you can start the walk clock and such and see if we can do a minute. But again, the idea of a prayer that hopefully expresses this concept. Okay. All right. Can I try this out on you? Okay. Folks at any state legislators, you get a preview of what you might see tomorrow if they're watching on Facebook. Okay, here we go. Dear God, in the midst of a national emergency and global pandemic, there's so much to say, but I've been told that I only have 1 minute. What can you do in 1 minute? A lot. It takes less than 1 minute to vote yes or no. It takes less than 1 minute to offer a word of support to someone. It takes less than a minute to decide to do the right thing. Today we pray for all those affected by the coronavirus. We pray for the people in China, Italy, Iran, Europe, across our beloved country, and across the street in our own neighborhoods. Help us to see our common humanity in all people. As we keep our social distance, may our hearts grow closer to you and to each other. We pray for our healthcare workers, first responders, peace officers, civil servants, and armed forces. I pray for all the people in this room, as decisions are made on behalf of others. We are thankful for every minute that you give us, and we pray for the wisdom to use it to do the right thing. Amen. How was the time? Was it? All right. Well, good. Okay. See, that can be done. How's that for a... Okay. But the idea, hopefully, and here's the other thing I would share with you. Emotions are contagious. We are wired such that when somebody else is sad, you should feel something that's connected to them. When somebody else is happy, it should help you feel happy as well. That's why sometimes people are laughing, you start laughing too, you don't even know what they're laughing about. Emotions are contagious. And the danger is when they're not. When somebody's hurting or somebody's in pain and you don't feel it, that's a problem. Now we can't be overwhelmed with all the pain in the world, but we can have enough of it to motivate us to do something that God wants us to do. So I guess, you know, to conclude our time together, I want to give you your assignment. Number one, to take care of yourself, to keep safe, to protect yourself and others from the virus. But then second, to be open to how God would use you to care for somebody this week. You're here today, that means if you're in the healthy group, that's a good thing. But those who are not so healthy are going to need some assistance. They're going to need some help. And it's going to be our job to take care of each other, not only here in our community, but ultimately around the world. And with God's help, we can do it. So with that, I'll invite the praise team to come up. I want to say a prayer, and then they'll sing us out. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we praise you for this day, for this minute, for this chance to worship and be together. We pray for your Spirit to prepare us for whatever it is that is yet to come. We face it with confidence, knowing that you will see us through, and you've got something for us. And we can care for those that you send to us and love them and help us each other get through this. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, and the hope that we have in him. And we pray this today, knowing that you will guide us through. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, so here's our assignment. Again, my uniform today was the work boots. Because we've got a job to do to get to work. I'm rolling up my sleeves as a work, you know, because we're going out to get things done. I wore my Boy Scout belt from a couple weeks ago because the motto of the Boy Scouts is to be prepared. And so that's what we're all about today. As you go out today to serve God and to care for one another, go with the power, the grace, the strength of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you stand, we're going to sing the praise out. Also, on your offerings, that's one of the things we don't want to forget. You can place your offerings in the plate on the way out to give online to help us. That's one of those things for the church. We'll need to continue on our ministry. And so we'll need to support that financially, just like many other situations too. All right, praise God. Let's go.
Today is the day. Let's start over. I messed that beginning up. Sorry. I gotta use the right note. Gail gave it to me and I didn't use it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you need me, I will follow. Trusting in what you say, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Have a blessed week, everyone. Be safe.